Harper Audio presents The Great Christmas Knit-Off by Alexandra Brown, read by Gabrielle Glaister. In the rhythm of the needles there is music for the soul. Anonymous. Prologue. Hetty Honey picked up a lovely lavender lace weight that a customer had abandoned by the till after pondering for what seemed like an eternity that actually it wasn't the right shade of lavender after all. She then walked across the shop floor of her house of haberdashery to repatriate the ball into its rightful place, a wooden floor-to-ceiling cabinet comprising 24 cubbyholes inset over 3 shelves crammed with every colour, ply and type of yarn imaginable. Hetty smiled wryly, remembering the programme she had listened to on the radio not so long ago. Knitting. It was all the rage nowadays, and she hoped it would finally catch on in Tyndaledale, her beloved picture postcard village, and Hetty's home for the 83 years of her life to date. She ran the timber-framed, double-fronted shop adjacent to the wisteria-clad roundel of the oast house her father had built before she was even born. Hetty lifted the tray on which sat the last remnants of her afternoon tea, a cheese sandwich, minus the crusts because her teeth weren't as strong as they used to be, plus a pot of tea and a pink iced finger that had only cost 10 pence on account of it being past its best. Kitty, in the tea room up on the high street, had tried to give her the bun for free, but Hetty hated taking charity, especially when she felt there were other people in far more need. Hetty moved to the back of the shop, swept the curtain aside, and went through to the little kitchenette area. Years ago this had been her mother's sewing room, and the wooden Singer machine with its rickety foot pedals still lived there, with a multitude of multicoloured bobbins all piled up high on the shelf behind it. After placing the tray on the draining board next to the age-veined Belfast sink, and carefully wrapping the crusts in cling film to dunk into her warming homemade soup the following afternoon, Hetty picked up the picture frame on the mantelpiece above the fire and ran a finger over the faded black and white autographed photo. She allowed herself an enormous sigh. She wasn't usually one for self-pity or hand-wringing, but another one of the letters had come this morning, with final demand stamped across the top in ugly red type. Business had been so slow these past couple of years, and now with her dwindling savings and pittance of a pension, she had come to realise that it was going to take a darn miracle this Christmas for Hetty's house of haberdashery to remain afloat come the new year. There had been talk of retirement, of closing down the house of haberdashery, of putting her feet up and going into a home. Hetty's nephew, her brother Harold's son, and last of the Honey family line, was all for it. On one of his rare visits, on the pretext of seeing how she was, he told Hetty he was concerned about her living on her own, that she needed the rest, and that it's not like you've got that many customers these days, is it? He said he'd make sure she had her own bedroom, or at the very least a twin sharer, and, beside, it might be nice for her to have the company of people her own age. He'd put forward a strong case and had already contacted the council to inquire about a suitable place. But Hetty wasn't losing her marbles, and she knew that what he was really after was to bulldoze her beloved home, the oast house surrounded by a meadow of pretty wild flowers and the place where she grew up. There's her cosy bedroom suite set upstairs in the roundel with its magnificent view of the valley, the lovely farmhouse kitchen with the walk-in pantry, the sunroom, the snug. It's got the lot, and that's on top of all her memories wrapped within its circular walls. Not to mention her beloved little shop right next door, crammed full of all her favourite knitting and needlecraft goodies. Then he'd be able to get his hands on the land for one of his building projects. He told her all about the one with ample parking and plastic windows that his company had created in the town where he lived, over 50 miles away. 17 months it had taken, he'd said, to fight all the objections from the local residents' association. and he had puffed on about it.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?